Muktanam. Of those who are liberated during this life, who are unattached to the bodily comforts of society, friendship and love. Api, even, sitanam, who are perfect, because they understand the insignificance of bodily comforts. Narayana parayanaha, a person who has concluded that Narayana is the supreme. Durlabaha, very rarely found. Vashanta, fully pacified. Atma, whose mind? Kotishu, out of millions and trillions. Api, even. Mahamune, O great sage. Translation, O great sage among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. You can repeat. O great sage. Among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following purport to this verse. Simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become factually liberated. When one understands the futility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge and therefore he situates himself in the vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife, and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall again and be afflicted by materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated, because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare work, and so on. Jnanis, yogis, and karmis devoid of devotional service are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishne Aparadi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking that everything is Krishna is called an Aparadi, or an offender. Although the Mayavadis, impersonalists, are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted among the Siddhas, those who have realized the self. They may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized that spiritual life is. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, a devotee of Lord Narayana, he is better than a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. There are two kinds of jnanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonalists generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit, and therefore it is said they are husking paddy that has no grain. Stula, tushava gachinaha. The other class of jnanis whose jnana is mixed with bhakti are also of two kinds. Those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Satchananda Vigraha, the actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayana or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu has accepted a form of Maya and that the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. A pure devotee, however, never thinks, that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merges in the Brahman effulgence, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th Kanto, 2nd chapter, text 32. Yenye rabandaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta pavadavashuda buddhyaha arurakrachena parambhatang pata patantyudo nadrita yushmadhangrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated, but who have no devotion, is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation, by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. Evidence of this same point is also given in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 11, wherein the Lord says, Avashananti man, mudha, manushim tanam ashritam, param bhavam, ajananto, mamabhuta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. When rascals, mudas, see that Krishna acts exactly like a human being, they deride the transcendental form of the Lord because they do not know the param bhavam, his transcendental form and activities. Such persons are further described in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 12, as follows. Mugasya moga karma no moga gyana viches disaha rakshasim asurim choiva prakritim mohinim chitaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Such persons do not know that Krishna's body is not material. There is no distinction between Krishna's body and his soul. But because less intelligent men see Krishna as a human being, they deride him. They cannot imagine how a person like Krishna could be the origin of everything. Govindam, Adipurusham, Tamaham, Bhajami. Such persons are described as mogashaha, baffled in their hopes. Whatever they desire for the future will be baffled. Even if they apparently engage in devotional service, they are described as mogashaha because they ultimately desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence. Those who aspire to be elevated to the heavenly planets by devotional service will also be frustrated because this is not the result of devotional service. However, they are also given a chance to engage in devotional service and be purified, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text 17. Srinvata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana vidyanto vidyantashto yavadrani vidunoti suritsitam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his message, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Unless the dirt within the core of one's heart is cleansed away, one cannot become a pure devotee. Therefore, the word sudurlabha, very rarely found, is used in this verse. Not only among hundreds and thousands, but among millions of perfectly liberated souls, a pure devotee is hardly ever found. Therefore, the words kotishvapi are used herein. Srila Madhvacharya gives the following quotations from the Tantra Bhagavata. Navakochastu devanam rishiya saptakotiyaha narayanayana sarve yeki chittatparayanaha. There are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages who are all called Narayana, Narayanayana, devotees of Lord Narayana. Among them, only a few are called Narayana Parayana. Narayana Deva Vishajastat Parayanaha Paramadya Kechanayvasu Siddho Yogya Sukham Labhan. The difference between the Siddhas and Narayana Parayanas is that direct devotees are called Narayana Parayanas, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called Siddhas. Quite an extensive purport. So, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sadurlabha prasanshantatma latishvapi mahamune. So, omagada tivadandasha gananjana shalakaya chakshuram miditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, description reminds me very much of a story in the Jiva Dharma. Some of you may know that story. Once upon a time, there was a sannyasi in Varanasi. And this sannyasi, he was a follower of Shankaracharya. Of course, we know Shankaracharya ultimately teaches what? Bhajagovinda, 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 Madhamate. What does that mean? He says to his disciples, basically as he's leaving this world, my dear disciples, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, don't be a mudha. And, obviously he's a devotee, he's Lord Shiva, and he has a specific purpose. His purpose, of course, is to bring people back to the Vedic literatures, because the Buddhists, who were previously very prominent in India, were decrying the Vedic literatures. And there's a reason for that, because Buddha is also an incarnation of Krishna, and people were misusing the Vedic literatures before to justify meat-eating, exploitation of people, casteism, and all those other things. So Buddha came to sort of destroy that particular concept, and then later on Shankaracharya came to bring people back to the Vedic literatures, like we all know that. So anyway, so this sannyasi, he was a follower, and he followed very well, and he even came to the platform of being a Paramahamsa, it's described. There's different stages of sannyas. These are materialistic stages by which one becomes detached from the material world. I mean, first of all, one takes the Kutichak stage. That means where one resides in the same village as the family, and he really can't figure out how to eat without his wife cooking for himself. But he's not allowed to be with his wife. So, you know, he's sort of like he has a little conflict there. His wife has to cook for him, but she can't serve him. So he has the children, his children, bring him the food from his wife. That's the first stage. And then after that, you know, he figures, well, maybe this is a little bit too much connection. This is materialistic, so-called stages of detachment. Of course, we have a better stage of detachment. Even one can remain with the family and be perfectly detached and in the renounced order of life. Anyway, so as Krishna says, you know, the actual stage of sannyas is not one who lights no fire, performs no work. So Krishna gives the real understanding. But in the mind-body conception, it's just like he who lights no fire, he who cuts off the siga, takes off the Brahmin thread and everything like that. Because traditionally that was the system. That even if you were a Brahmin, you would get rid of your Brahmin thread. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He took in the sampradaya that was extant at that time, which is the Shankara sampradaya from Bharti, Keshava Bharti. And he followed the principles of the Mayavada sannyasa. So people would respect him because at that time, the Vaishnava sannyasa, or the renounced order of Vaishnava life, was more like Babaji's and things like that. So therefore, for preaching, he accepted a danda. And of course, later on, to show that he was actually on the transcendental stage, Lord Nityananda broke the danda in three places and threw it into the Ganges River. But that's another story. So there's the different stages of sannyasa. So the second materialistic stage, and this is not really recommended for Vaishnava sannyasis. This is more for people who just want to become detached by undergoing some adjustment, materialistic adjustment. Second stage is where one goes and does this mutton curry. Because still, he hasn't really figured out how to eat. And he's worried, you know, because he has some anxiety, you know, what am I going to do for food? Of course, that's not a professional stage of sannyas where one worries about food. So anyway, so then he goes door to door, and he asks for one roti or one whatever sweet ball or one piece of pizza in every house, and that's manukari. Like a bee, you know, a bee doesn't just demolish the flower when he collects the pollen. He actually takes a little bit of pollen from each flower. So that's the madhukar. He doesn't just sit down for a big meal at someone's house. Just a little bit. He collects enough. You know, and that's really what the upper cloth of the sannyasi is meant for. It's meant for madhukari. And you see sometimes, that's interesting, you go around with devotees like Dinabandhu and they actually use the cloth like that and they collect your rotis or, nowadays it's money. And the sannyasis, they have, square apps on their phones. You know, a square app on the phone? Where they swipe your credit card, but in the old days, it was just grains and fruit and things like that. So anyway, so that's the next stage. And then there's the, Parvajapacharya where one wanders everywhere, preaching Krishna consciousness, or if he's not a devotee, then he preaches Mayavada philosophy. You know, we're all one, I'm one, you're one, like that. And he doesn't really worry about money, or worry about food, or worry about any material things. You know, he understands, you know, it's going to happen, or it's not going to happen. That's his detachment. And then the final stage is just Paramahamsa. One doesn't wander anymore. He just stays in one place and is absorbed, for Mayavadi, of course, in Brahman, whatever that means, in the oneness, chanting Om or something like that. And that's the Paramahamsa stage, and he's not disturbed. Because in the higher stages of sannyas, one is not disturbed. He's called Dhira. Dhira means like undisturbed, peaceful person. So he's just peaceful like that. But he's not experiencing any happiness because, as we know, the Brahman realization only gives you the Sat realization of the Lord. This, you know, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Paramatma, of course, you get the Sat and the Chit. And in the Bhagavan realization, of course, as Prabhupada describes, you get Sat, Chit, and Ananda, or bliss. So even though many sannyasis, they have on their names, Mayavadi sannyasis, they have the name Ananda. Isn't it? Like something Ananda or something Ananda. And actually, it's interesting that Prabhupada's godbrothers criticized Prabhupada for giving Brahmananda the name Brahmananda. I was reading Brahmananda's book recently. I got a copy of it. And they criticized him for that. They said, it's a Mayavadi name. You gave your disciple a Mayavadi name. You know, Ananda. Because generally, devotees don't go around with Ananda names. Because they don't brag about their bliss. Although sometimes you give disciples the names Ananda when they have some previous Mayavad connection. So anyway, Prabhupada was criticized for this. And then Prabhupada replied, he had a very interesting reply. He said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a follower named Brahmananda Bharati. So I'm just naming him after him. So Prabhupada was very quick on the replies. You know, you really couldn't get Prabhupada at any point because he was just, I mean, and sometimes it was a humorous reply, like with the reporters, you know, why do you have bald heads? And Prabhupada just immediately said, because you want to have warm legs and a cool head, lady, you know. Or I was with Prabhupada and one reporter asked Prabhupada, you know, why do so many young people here? Why not some old folks? And Prabhupada said, you know, what's the age of education? Immediately responds like that. I mean, it's amazing how quick Prabhupada was on the response. Immediately respond, so what's the age for education? They said, youth. And they said, yes, Prabhupada said, because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He was in Gainesville, Florida, when we first met Prabhupada. And everyone, of course, laughed like anything. And generally, the reporter had to just go hide his head after Prabhupada would respond like that, because it was a zinger. like that. Prabhupada was expert in doing that and extremely humorous. So, anyway, so Prabhupada responded, yes, Brahmananda Bharati was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore I named my disciple after him. So getting to the point is those that even in the Paramahamsa stage of Mayavadi Sannyas are not experiencing ecstasy. It's pretty dry. Therefore, we find this description that Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Aruya Kritrena Param Padam Pata Patanjado Yajmad Angrayaha, that ultimately they may rise to the Brahman platform and then they come down. That's a common verse that Prabhupada. Ye ye ravan jaksha vimuktamanina. Vimuktamanina means they think in their minds they're liberated. You got that verse yet?
Yeah.
Ye ye ravan jaksha vimuktamanina. It's in the purport there. It's in the middle of the purport. Twayasta bhavada vashuddha buddhiya. And in other words, they think they're liberated in the mind, but Twayasta Bhavad, Avashuddha Buddhya, but they have impure intelligence. Avashuddha, Vishuddha or Shuddha means pure. Avashuddha means impure. Buddhya, you know, intelligence. And ultimately they fall down. And Prabhupada at other times says they fall down and they come down to do charitable work first. Because when they fall down, they actually are inclined towards work in the mode of goodness. And then, of course, they go down to lower modes. I mean, just like you see, I mean, I can think of one Mayavadi or person who actually said he was God. And he opened up so many hospitals, eye hospitals and everything like that, but then he became a child abuser after that. I mean, there's documentation about that. I'm not mentioning any names because it may offend somebody. But, you know, so there's that mode of goodness thing, but ultimately the modes of nature, as we mentioned before, and on Sunday we mentioned this, the modes of nature are actually in struggle for the control of the soul. Sometimes one mode becomes prominent, defeating the other modes. And mode, of course, guna means rope, as we described, and as Prabhupada describes. And so there's no stable position when you come down from the Mayavad or the impersonal realization. Anyway, so getting back to the story from the Jiva Dharma, this sannyasi, he was just like absorbed in Brahman. He didn't fall down. He was on the Paramahamsa platform, Tatmos platform, just minding his own business. And then when some devotee comes along and starts chanting Hare Krishna, you know, the names of Lord Chaitanya, a devotee from Navadvip. And then somehow or other this Mayavadi starts feeling ecstasy unlike he's ever felt before in his whole life. Which is actually interesting. It's like almost like that story, almost like the, I'm going to turn that. Went off. I turned it off by my mystic powers. So it's almost like the personification or an illustration of the Atmarama's verse. You know, Atmarama's cha maniyo nevranti piyo rukume kuvanti haita kibati itambuddha gunahari. That even those who were self-satisfied or situated, taking pleasure in the self, so to speak, Atmarama, they're attracted to the quality names, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. And of course, Prabhupada gives the example of Shukadev Goswami, who is an Atmarama, you know, a Brahmavadi. I wouldn't say a Mayavadi, because there is a difference. Brahmavadi is one who just doesn't know better. It's like an agnostic, so to speak. You know, we have atheists and agnostics. Atheists are just like, I hate God, ain't no God. And agnostic is, you know, I don't know. Let me see. Show me. You know, where's the, I won't say. Anyway, where's God? So, you know, Shukadeva Goswami, and of course the four Kumaras are another example of that. And you'll find many examples of this in the Vedic literature. How someone who is actually on the platform Brahman becomes attracted to the name, quality, pastimes of the Lord. So this Mayavad sannyasi, he just like was minding his own Mayavad business and started to shake in ecstasy after a while. And then he just like was inspired by Lord Chaitanya to go to Navadvip. And so he arrives in Navadvip in Prajuna Kunj. And he arrives there and He comes in touch with Paramahamsa Babaji. And he's still wearing his Mayavad sannyas clothes and everything like that. And then he even asks Paramahamsa Babaji, you know, he actually surrenders to him, becomes his servant, which is actually quite interesting because Mayavadis generally think they're God, you know, very high position. And it's described later he was very attached to his prestigious brahminical birth, prestigious sannyas and everything like that. So he surrenders to Paramahamsa Babaji, and then he asks Paramahamsa Babaji that, should I give up this Mayavad dress? And the interesting thing is that Paramahamsa Babaji doesn't say, yeah, no, give it up. He actually says, you know, when you've gotten the realization, I'm just paraphrasing, when you've gotten the realization, then at that point, it'll be the right thing to do, not artificially changing dress, which is also a very interesting instruction that simply artificially changing dress doesn't make you a devotee. It has to be something from the heart. And we're not talking about, you know, this is not an anti-Krishna West or Krishna West type of thing. But it has to be, you know, simply putting on tilak doesn't mean anything. You have to have devotion. Anyway, so eventually this Mayavad sannyasi, by the mercy of his guru, has what's called a spurti. Spurti means like a manifestation, if you look up the word in Sanskrit. He has a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. And, you know, what a realization by the mercy of the guru to have this sort of manifestation. I mean, it's interesting in the, we were talking about this yesterday when we were visiting Lalita Krishna, that everything appears to go quickly, you know, it's like telescoped or condensed or sped up. It's like one of these movies where, I guess a Charlie Chaplin movie or something, where they put something on high speed and everybody's running around doing everything very quickly. So, in real life, it doesn't happen that quickly. I mean, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years and I still haven't had that spurti. Wish I had, you know. So here's this Mayavad, and I was thinking, this Mayavad sannyasi, and he gets his spurti so quickly in me, you know. Hey, what about me? You know, I've been serving prophets, bishops for so many years. The only spurti I get is my computer. And the only pastimes I see are when I watch the Krishna videos on the computer, isn't it? So the one point was made yesterday that, oh, maybe this encourages, like premature, like jumping up to a higher platform. And I said, no, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting the Siddhanta in such a way that we can understand it, but in real life things don't happen that quickly. You know, so one has to be mature enough to understand that. It's not that you just like take initiation from the guru and guru says, you know, you're this gopi or, you know, you're a servant of Lalita like it happened in the case of Vijay Kumar there. You know, practically instantaneously he gets his name and everything like that. But this, it takes a long time, many, many births. Many, many births. So one has to be mature enough how to understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings without, if you take them in the wrong way, you'll become a sahaja, basically. You know, where's my Siddha Pranali? Where's my Ekadasha Bhava? You know, Siddha Pranali means, you know, what is my eternal body constitution, Siddha Deha? And then Ekadasha Bhava, what are the 11 aspects? You know, how do I dress? How do I act? My service for Radha and Krishna? You know, it doesn't happen that quickly. You know, it has to be revealed when you come to the right stage above Nishtha. You know, and then you get a glimpse and, you know, all those things. So, anyway, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur presents it as if it were happening like extremely quickly, but it doesn't, it's not like that in real life. Unless you're actually a pure devotee already. So, getting back to the point, so he actually, after his realizations, he actually puts on his tilak. Finally puts on tilak. Now, it takes some while. He doesn't put on tilak, you know, Vaishnava tilak at least immediately. Gives up his sannyas dress and dresses, and at that time Vaishnava dress meant the dress of a Babaji, basically. And all the other Vaishnavas, they see this transformation and they become completely overwhelmed. Hey, Was that Mayavad Sannyasi before? What? And then he said, my name now is Vaishnava Das. It's interesting, he gave the name Vaishnava Das from being God. He becomes a servant of the Vaishnavas. Very interesting. And he actually becomes, you know, pretty much instantaneously a guru in his own right. And he has his first disciple, Lahiri Mahasaya, right? But there's another point that happens here, talking about someone who takes renunciation prematurely. So when this Lahiri Mahasaya surrenders to Vaishnava Das, he moves into Pradyumna Kunj also. And he finds a place to live right next to it, that's part of another Babaji's, hermitage. You know, this Babaji somehow rents him a room in his hermitage. Which is kind of interesting too, Babaji's renting rooms. So this Babaji's name is Madhava Das. You remember this story, right? And Madhava Das is not really properly situated in a renounced order of life. Madhava Das, has been meeting or having an illicit relationship with a woman, and what happens is that Lahiri Mahasaya one time comes back late at, you know, night, and he sees Madhava Das with this lady in a secluded place. And then he says, you know, what's happening? Madhava Das reveals that that's his wife, yeah. He reveals his wife that first of all she moved to a nearby place, and then somehow or other, you know, the attraction or something was, or the attachment was so great that they're still meeting together. And so Lahiri Mahasaya actually understands this is the polluted thing because he's taking a vow of renunciation. You know, if one's wife's a devotee and one's associated with a proper grahastha ashram, that's fine. But for someone who's taken the vow of renunciation, it's like, well, of course, vitamsi is the word. The one is eating his own vomit. So anyway, so then Lahiri Mahasaya renounces everything and then moves closer to Vaishnava Das, who was the previous sannyasi, the Mayavadi sannyasi. So anyways, so many of the points that are made here in this particular verse and purport are made by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jiva Dharma in a nice story form. Anyway, we have about one more minute for class. I have a lot more to say. Yes.
Couple of things. One, when in Jiva Dharma they talk, I see how these people come quickly to a certain platform. We have to understand that in their previous life they had already achieved the stage of Ruchi, Ashakti. So it's not that they got to start all over from the very beginning. They pick up very quickly where they left off.
But they're actually fictional characters. He's using real devotees. Like so many of the devotees being described in the Jiva Dharma are actually real devotees, but the ones who are coming to Krishna consciousness are actually fictional characters.
But there are some devotees, in real life, the devotees even here that, I mean, I've heard from other people how they've met some of these people.
I would like to meet some of these people.
Well, some of them in Radha Kohan, they met them. They very quickly come to the platform. I mean, we're not going to start.
I hope.
Next life, at the very beginning, we're going to pick up where we left off.
That's true. I mean, I just hope one day to meet someone like that. I mean, because most of the people in Radha couldn't. Anyway, it's not my business to criticize anybody in Radha couldn't. But
there are devotees out there.
I've seen people who ostensibly or say that they're on that platform or have some external symptoms. But at the same time, they criticize Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, and it's not my business to delve into, you know, what is someone's realization. But as far as ourselves, we should cultivate patience. Utsaham nischaya darya tatat karma pravartana. Patience, enthusiasm. Determination, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. I'm certainly not having spurties.